From NPR, it's the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. From the Top. This week from the Sunrise Theater in Fort Pierce, Florida, our lineup of outstanding young musicians includes a teenage guitarist from the desert of Utah performing Tarega, and a local 12-year-old performing a prelude by Rachmaninoff. And roving reporter Emily Mayer will take our young guitarist to see the Atlantic Ocean for the very first time. Here's our host, renowned concert pianist, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you and welcome, everybody.
Ah, yes, we're in beach country.
Fort Pierce is in southern Florida, just north of Palm Beach and south of Daytona, and it's home to the stunning beaches of Hutchinson Island. And as Joanne said, we will visit Hutchinson Island in just a moment, but alas, we can't actually record our program on the beach, so we're doing the next best thing. We're at the Sunrise Theater, an old vaudeville house that was lovingly restored just a year ago and is now on the National Register of Historic Places. Great to be here. Great place to do a show. And a special thanks to our host, WQCS 88.9, celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. We're going to get right into some music, and the first of two Southern Florida girls on today's show. Joining me is a wonderful 13-year-old cellist from Miami. Please welcome Anna Litvinenko. Anna, welcome to the show. Why don't you tell everybody what we're going to play together?
We're going to play At the Fountain by Davidov.
When you are set, we will take it from the top.
Thank you.
our 13-year-old cellist from down the road in Miami, Anna Litvinenko, playing Carl Davidoff's At the Fountain. We've never had that on the show before. It's a wonderful, wonderful cello showpiece, and gosh, you really bring it off with such flair and lightness and ease. Is it easy?
No.
Seems easy when you play it. Anna, I have to tell our audience, today we are giving away billions and billions of dollars. We've got not one, not two, but three Jack Kent Cook young artists with us today. That's our scholarship program, and you're one of them. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Great news. Now, young lady, admit it, you have an unfair advantage. You have exceptionally musical parents. What do your mom and dad do?
My mother, she's a pianist, and my dad is a cellist.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you play the piano, too. So are your parents your teachers on both instruments?
Yeah, well, I started off with my mom when I was little, and then I switched to other teachers, and then now I'm back with my mom. Mm-hmm. And the cello, my dad's always been my teacher.
Yeah. And now, I mean, but what are you concentrating more on now, piano or cello, would you say?
I'm leaning towards the cello now.
How's mom feel about that?
She's all right with it.
She's okay?
Yeah.
Supportive? That's good. And you speak three languages. How do we come to that?
Well, my mom's Cuban, so I speak Spanish, and my dad's Ukrainian, so I speak Russian.
Wow. And you speak English?
Yeah.
Nicely.
I speak Spanglish, like
in school. And Spanglish in Miami, yes, of course. Very nice. So your mom is Cuban. Has she taught you, besides the piano, a lot of that great Cuban dancing?
Shamefully, no, because she's a great dancer, and like, I want to learn.
Yeah. What's the deal? What's she holding out on you for?
I don't know.
Terrible. We've got to turn that around, definitely. That's an outrage.
Yes.
No salsa, merengue? She should really get on that. But there's something else here that's an outrage. Your dad is principal cellist with the Miami Symphony and your teacher. Mm-hmm. But Anna, what does he ask you to do sometimes?
Well, sometimes when I'm in the next room that he's in and he's watching TV, so he's like, oh, stop practicing because I need to hear the TV.
Anna, you have to monitor your parents and their television watching, okay?
Yeah, the History Channel.
Oh, History Channel.
Yeah.
I bet it's CSI Miami myself, I'm sure.
History.
And now, you sometimes share the stage with your dad playing with the Miami Symphony. You're playing in the Miami Symphony?
Yeah, I'm a member.
That's nice. Well, so what do they think of a 13-year-old cellist being in the Miami Symphony? Are they okay with it?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, you're certainly up to professional standards. That's great. And your dad doesn't bring a little tiny TV to rehearsals or anything like that?
No.
Good. Good. Your dad and your mom must be really, really proud of you, as we are, for having you open the program so beautifully.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Anna Litvinenko, 13-year-old cellist from Miami, Florida.
If you want to hear Anna's piece again, go to fromthetop.org, where you can listen to any of your favorite performances or entire episodes on demand. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jackkentcookfoundation.org, and that's Cook with an E. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. And that's Joanne with an E. Our second performer is another recipient of one of those Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Awards. His name is Emmanuel Gray, Jr. He's 18 years old. He's a Navajo from the reservation in Monument Valley, Utah. And no, he's never seen the Atlantic Ocean before his trip here to Florida. Our 15-year-old roving reporter, Emily Mayer, took Manny for his first trip to an East Coast beach, Hutchinson Island, here in Fort Pierce. And she found out quite a lot about this wonderful young man.
Come on, you gotta put your feet in. You can't experience the ocean until you actually get wet. It's not gonna hurt you. Just wait for one of the waves to come up on the beach. Doesn't it feel awesome?
It's cold.
Well, actually, compared to a lot of the other oceans, this is like the warmest one I've ever been in. What do you think of it?
Pretty amazing.
So what do you think of all this wind? It's making the waves huge.
Well, where I come from, it's really windy also, so this is pretty comfortable, actually.
Well, I've grown up, like, a couple blocks from the ocean, so I've lived near the ocean my whole life, but how's, like, Arizona's landscape compared to the oceans?
Dry. rocky. And during the summer, it's really hot, so.
It must be pretty too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. There's a bunch of rocks risen up out of the ground. It would be monuments, and I guess a lot of mesas also. In the morning, during the horizon, when the sun's rising up, it would be red, sometimes orange.
So all this beauty, does it affect your music at all?
Yeah, it does. I try to make my music memorable to me, and I try to put it in my music, the beauty of where I live and my family.
So the raw beauty, the landscape, and your songs?
I've named one song after where I live, Jato, would be Moonlight Springs. That's translated into English.
And that was Navajo?
Jato, yeah.
So you actually write your own music, too?
Yes, I do. I've composed music for the Grand Canyon Music Festival, the NACAP, and I've done that for 3 years.
So you mentioned your family. Do you have a lot of family that live near you on the reservation?
Yes, I do. They're all over Monument Valley, so everyone's related in a way.
How is it that everyone's related in a way?
Through clans. Either it's through my grandparents or my great-grandparents. At the school I attend, majority of the students that attend the high school are my cousins.
So how many cousins do you have? Your family reunions must be huge.
Yeah, they are. About approximately 90 or more come to our family reunions.
How do you feed all those people?
We sometimes butcher sheep. We just butcher approximately like 2 or 3 just to feed them.
Do you ever get help with the butchering of the sheep?
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
So tell me more about your clans. How can that many people be your cousins?
I'm not sure how the clans all started, but the first clan, Tachini, is my mom's. The second clan, Hanagahni, is from my dad. And my third clan, Kia'ani, is from my Nali, which is my dad's mom. And my fourth clan would be Klizathane, which is from my grandparents.
Do you really do a lot of the traditional Navajo stuff with your family?
When I'm with my grandparents, I do. She would teach it to us, the traditional ways.
So how'd you get involved with classical music?
Well, I got involved in classical music through my music teacher, Mr. Tom Irwin. But also, I guess I could say my sister, because my parents would buy us CDs for her, or buy us CDs, and we liked the music, and we just wanted to play more of it.
So this guitar teacher, did he give you private lessons?
No, he didn't. He mainly taught it as a class.
These group guitar lessons, where did you take them?
I took them at my high school.
So you've never had a private lesson?
I've had master classes, but not necessarily private lessons.
So many kids have come on from the top. They've had all this private instruction since they were little. How'd you get so good without all of that?
I guess it was more of wanting it. I pushed myself into learning it. I didn't want to give up.
It's so beautiful here today, and there's nothing like guitar on the beach. And like, it's windy like crazy, so it's sort of silly, but I asked you to bring your guitar. Would you mind playing it?
Sure.
Do you need a hand?
No, it's okay. Thank you.
Okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm welcome to Emmanuel Gray. Manny, great to have you with us on From the Top. Why don't you tell everybody what you're going to play?
I'll be playing Recuerdos de la Alhambra by Francisco Tárrega. Thank you.
our 18-year-old guitarist from Monument Valley, Utah, Emmanuel Gray. Emmanuel, I can't get over this idea. You know, I know what guitar classes are like. You know, those little colored dots on the frets and stuff. I don't think you learned all that stuff in guitar class. I'm just amazed at how much you've taught yourself. Does it ever frustrate you, or did you ever not know what to do? How did you find things out? How did you?
I used a book.
Okay, so yeah. It's a good book. Obviously, a good book.
Yeah.
But more than that, I mean, because you have the style, and so that's something that you have to hear. Did you listen to a lot of recordings, or Christopher Parkening, John Williams, people like that?
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of gives you a sound in your head. I mean, because doing all of this on your own is just an amazing thing to me. It's just, it's fantastic. So, I imagine you probably want to go study music in college now. Is that your plan?
Yes.
Do you think you would even put up with a teacher if you found a good one?
Yeah.
You'd enjoy the experience, you think?
Yeah.
And how about after that? What do you want to do?
I want to go back to the reservation after getting my degree in music education. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to the Navajo reservation and teach in high school.
And give something back.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I just think it's phenomenal that you want to give back to the reservation, and I just think it's incredible the work that you've done and the great music that you make. Just loved having you on the show. Thank you for being with us, mm-hmm. Emmanuel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Emmanuel. Emmanuel Gray, 18-year-old guitarist from Monument Valley, Utah.
Welcome back to the radio showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, From the Top. This week, we're broadcasting from the historic Sunrise Theater in Fort Pierce, Florida. Coming up, three talented teenagers cram their six hands onto one piano to perform a playful arrangement of America from Leonard Bernstein's West Side Story. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Today's show in Fort Pierce is made possible with support from the St. Lucie County Cultural Affairs Council and the IRCC Foundation. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Our next performer is another one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artists Award winners. He hails from Chicagoland. Please welcome, from University Park, Illinois, 15-year-old violist Matthew Lipman. Matthew, you've brought one of the great modern pieces written for the viola. While I get back to the piano, tell everybody what we're going to be playing.
We will be performing the first movement of the Walton Viola Concerto.
Thank you. Our violist was 15-year-old Matthew Lippman from University Park, Illinois, playing the first movement of the Walton Viola Concerto. I think that's probably John Boy's best piece, wouldn't you say?
Of course, yeah.
Very good. It's a really fantastic piece. Oh, it's William Walton. Okay, sorry. William Walton. Really nicely done. I never got to do that before, so really glad had you breaking me in with this piece. Fantastic. It's no wonder you're such a passionate player. Love has been always a motivating factor for you since the beginning of your music career. When did you start music and why?
Well, I started in the fourth grade, but it goes pretty much a long time before that. When I was in kindergarten, I went to a private school. I went through eighth grade, and there was an eighth grader there who played trumpet, and I was madly in love with her, and so, of course, I wanted to play trumpet, and so, you know. And then in third grade, I moved to a public school, and in my district, trumpet wasn't available until fifth grade, but string instruments were available in fourth grade, so I thought, you know, just learn how to read music for a year, you know. But then I was like, okay, so which string instrument to play? But I was in love with another girl who was a year older than me, and she played viola, so I was like, okay, that's the choice. So.
Glad your heart's in the right place. You really got the right idea about music, Matthew. You know, people ask me, you know, why do you play the piano? It's to impress girls, basically, that's it. It could be a dangerous pattern, though. Just be careful about that.
I will.
You live and learn. Don't make the same mistakes I do. And viola isn't your only love. You and your dad love fast cars.
Oh, yeah.
What's the fastest street legal car these days?
Well, our favorite is the McLaren F1, which goes from 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds, 627 horsepower. Yeah, $1 million, no biggie. Yeah.
What's the top speed?
I think it's about 232, but wow. They just made a new car that goes faster, but I don't like that one, so we don't talk about it.
Which, the Bugatti?
Yeah.
You know, who's going to pass you when you're going 232? The one guy that has the Bugatti, you know? What? Your dad is a big fan of the free stuff they give away at the auto shows.
Oh, yeah, and we love going to the auto shows. So.
And he likes bargains in general?
Yeah. Well, at the auto show, we were there for like 5 hours, and at every single one of the events, he would pick up a brochure, so by the end, you'd have like armfuls of brochures and throw them away and get home. So, yeah.
What other stuff does he get up to bringing home?
Well, recently, after Christmas, he brought home 2 snowman ornaments after Christmas, even though we're Jewish.
Oh. Matzah ball man.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That works, too.
That works.
Yeah.
And anything else?
Yeah.
Stuff all over the house, probably?
Yeah, he likes to shop at this grocery store, and they sell, you know, old food, whatever. And he found these 10-cent potato chip bags of Clamato potato chips, which are clam and tomato flavored.
Mm.
And, you know, don't want to go near those.
No. Did you ever try it? Did you ever try them?
No.
Sounds like a lovely combination.
Oh, yeah.
You really have no right to criticize the way your dad spends his time. Talk about what you like to do with your extra time.
Absolutely nothing. I love to waste time. It's an avid passion of mine.
Yeah?
So.
Procrastinating, or you're just, you know, putting things off that you actually should be doing, or just wasting time, you have nothing to do?
Well, I always have something to do. I'm pretty busy, so I guess you could call it procrastination.
Well, playing the viola is sort of a procrastination. I mean, you know, eventually you'll get around to learning a real instrument, right?
Ha, ha, ha.
Actually, you said you actually like viola jokes.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Why?
Well, you know, if you couldn't tell already, I sort of like attention, so it brings more attention to
me.
More
attention, yeah. That's a good attention.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, we don't talk about it enough, but procrastination is rampant, even with the overachieving kids at From the Top. But you, Mr. Lippman, you're one of the few kids brave enough to admit it on the air, and to thank you, we've decided to give you your own top 10 list.
It's time for Matthew Lippman's Top 10 Ways to Procrastinate When You Should Be Practicing the Viola.
Number 10.
Floss.
I've been putting that one off myself, actually. Number 9.
Give your dog peanut butter and watch the tongue acrobatics.
Oh, yeah. Gotta get it up on the ribbed roof of the mouth.
Yeah.
Peanut butter on the roof, that's a great one. Number 8.
Well, I like to rearrange my bedroom furniture multiple times for, you know, optimum viola acoustics.
Good. Feng shui, never out of place. Number 7.
Contemplate why dear old dad brought home Christmas ornaments for our Jewish family.
That's, you can spend a lot of time on that one, I would imagine. Number 6.
I like to visualize going 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds in my McLaren F1.
Good one. Number 5.
Assiduously study a piece of music you will never, ever play. Like the Hummel Trumpet Concerto. Oh.
That would count as a fantasy in your case, Matthew. Number 4.
Fantasize grisly and gruesome deaths for those arrogant violinists.
Number 3.
Watch Regis.
Or watch Regis's triple bypass operation. Number 2.
I like to count the wood grain on the back of my viola.
Ooh. Sick. And Matthew Lipman's number 1 way to procrastinate when you should be practicing the viola?
YouTube.
Yes. Matthew, great having you on the show and being with us and playing so beautifully. Now stop wasting time and get off stage. Matthew Lipman, 15-year-old viewers from University Park, Illinois.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at npr.org/podcasts. Each year, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation present 25 performers of exceptional musical ability, outstanding academic potential, and financial need with the $10,000 Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Learn more at fromthetop.org. Chris.
Our next performer is not only a local girl from neighboring Jupiter, Florida, and she's not only a terrific 12-year-old pianist, she's royalty. Please welcome the reigning international Cinderella Miss, Taylor Tyson. Your Highness, Taylor. Tell everybody about this pageant, this competition you won.
I won the International Cinderella Scholarship Pageant out in Las Vegas, and I won in the Cinderella Miss Division, where girls that are ages 10 through 12 compete in, and there's actually 5 age divisions in the whole competition, and I won $4,000 in scholarship money and $2,000 in savings bonds.
Congratulations, that's wonderful.
Thank you.
I want to hear some more about that, but first, let's hear you play. What have you brought for us?
I'm going to be playing Prelude No. 6 in E-flat major by Rachmaninoff.
Thank you.
Taylor Tyson, our 12-year-old pianist from here in Jupiter, Florida. Taylor, it's so nice to have a pageant winner, obviously, who has spent a lot more time working on their piano playing than on their smile. It's really wonderful to actually hear you actually play.
Thank you.
I'm guessing for the Cinderella Miss Pageant, you did play some piano. Did you play something in the talent?
Yes, I played Revolutionary Etude by Chopin, and the way they score it, talent plays a big portion in the competition, and we also had to compete in interview, casual wear, and party wear.
Nice. But at 12 years old, I'm thinking, you know, are you out there in high heels and tons of makeup like in Little Miss Sunshine or something?
No,
is it like that?
Definitely. Nothing like that. We just wear enough makeup so you don't get washed out on stage, and only the older girls wear the big, huge ball gowns.
Right. Well, that's good. It's sort of more about being a regular kid who's
definitely
incredibly talented. Okay, hold on. Our 15-year-old roving reporter, Emily Mayer, has come out on stage, and she's carrying wood. Emily, it's all yours.
Okay, Taylor, you've been talking to Chris about the beauty pageant and everything, but there's something about you that's just so different from both piano and beauty pageants. I have to say, it's really cool.
Well, thank you. I'm a deputy black belt in Taekwondo, and when you're a deputy black belt, you train really hard for 6 months before you get to your black belt status, and I had to do a lot of hours in community service and train really hard with my master.
And for each level you go through, they test you, right? I mean, you actually have to break boards of wood.
Yeah, I had to break a lot of boards each time I test. And each time you break, they give you harder techniques to break with. And when I had to test for a deputy black belt, I had to break like 4 or 5 boards, and a couple of them I had to do blindfolded.
Well, we won't have that here. But just in case anyone was trying to stereotype you as just a little beauty queen, we thought we'd actually have you break a board here on stage.
Actually, I have a couple of pianos I'd like you to take care of for me.
But you have one of the right boards, correct?
Yes.
All right, now, Chris wouldn't do this because he said that he needed his fingers.
Hey.
Somehow, Taylor's own concern over her fingers doesn't stop her from actually being the one to break the board. And she's a pianist as well.
All right, we get
whatever.
The point. Yeah.
So, how do you want me to hold this, Taylor?
Okay, hold it about your chin level with right. Your palms facing up and your elbows out, and turn your head a little bit to the side so you don't get splinters in your eye. It doesn't actually happen.
Shrapnel's never good.
But just to make sure. And I'm going to measure it a couple of times, and when I actually break it, I'm going to yell, so don't get startled.
Well, I might yell too, but all right, so I guess we're ready to do this.
Okay.
Here we go, folks.
Emily, thank you for taking the bullet for me this time. Emily Mayer, our 15-year-old roving reporter. It doesn't hurt or anything, it's just...
No, nope.
Just
easy.
All set? Like that. Nice. Maybe I should work that into my warm-up, maybe. Gets the circulation going, I would imagine. Listen, Taylor, another unexpected thing about you is that your family has its own music foundation. Tell us about that.
Yes, my parents and I started a charitable foundation, and we give away instruments and money for lessons to kids who need it.
What's the name of the foundation?
A Beethoven Beatles Foundation.
Oh, so all kinds of musicians, from Beethoven to Beatles, also. So what sorts of things have you done?
We just gave away a Yamaha Clavinova piano to the musical therapy program at the Miami Children's Hospital.
Very, very nice. Doing great things, Your Majesty. It was really great hearing you and being with you, and I'll keep my distance. You know, no breaking boards on me. Thank you very, very much, Taylor.
Thank you.
Wonderful having you. Taylor Tyson, 12-year-old pianist from nearby Jupiter, Florida. Okay, now you're in store for some serious fun. It's time to watch three good friends battle it out over one piano. Coming to us from the Interlochen Center for the Arts in Michigan, 6HM is up next. That stands for six-handed monster. Six hands at one piano. We have 16-year-old Wei Wei Su providing our first set of hands. 17-year-old Kaiser Anywar is our second set, and 19-year-old Si Yi Fong is our third. Please welcome them. Welcome, you three. I introduced you all as studying at Interlaken, but your real homes are much further away than that. Si Yi, you're from where?
I'm from Canton, China.
And Wei Wei?
I'm from Taipei, Taiwan.
And Kaiser?
I'm from Xinjiang, China.
Well, welcome. Privileged to have you here, and you make great music together. Thank you. So I imagine you all three study and play solo music. So Kaiser, what's the appeal of having three people at one piano?
Well, it's really fun and really energetic.
Yeah.
And have a really loud sound.
A lot louder, yeah. Three is better than one. Absolutely. Yeah. And Wei Wei, is it difficult to meld your styles with one another?
Yeah, because we all have different playing styles. I'm the one that's always rushing, and Si's playing is more delicate.
Really? No.
And Kaiser has a louder voice, sound. So it was kind of hard for us to find the balances.
So getting that balance. See, there weren't only style conflicts, but physical conflicts. I mean, what's that like, three people at one piano?
Yeah, at the beginning of rehearsal, we don't know how to, spare our space, so we are always fighting together, the six hands, get your hand off, let me play my notes.
Yeah. And keep those nails short, too. Yeah. You could gouge somebody with those. And your own coach at Interlaken did the arrangement of this piece? What's his name?
He's Derson Duarte.
So Derson Duarte did the arrangements and figured out how to make it work for three pianists at one piano. It's wonderful. So, CE, tell everybody what this piece is we're talking about.
We are going to play America from West Side Story by Bernstein.
Great high-energy finale it will be. I want to thank all of our young performers today, and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, 6HM, you can take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. The music producer is Tom Venieri, and the tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Kim Razeman, and our technical director is Barrett Ouellette, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. Lighting by Tori Sweetser. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is made possible in part by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Our program is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.